WILL programs are made possible by the Champaign Park District, presenting the high-impact comedy, Wild Stunts, and Juggling of The Passing Zone in Gravity Attacks, Tuesday, April 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Historic Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. More information is available at 356-9063 or online at thevirginia.org.
Well, this morning, I think most of us got out jackets and put on socks and shoes and left the sandals and the short-sleeved shirts in the closet. Quiet weather will be with us for the beginning of the work week as high pressure builds into the region. Temperatures today will be near average for this time of year. A warming trend will begin tomorrow. The next weather system will move in tomorrow night, bringing us our next chance for showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures today will range from the low 40s in Wisconsin to the upper 70s in Missouri. Overnight low temperatures will range from the mid-30s across central Wisconsin to the mid-50s across East Central Missouri. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, mostly cloudy and cool. The high 58. I wonder if we'll get there. Currently 46 degrees in Urbana. The wind from the east at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 40. The wind out of the southeast from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, and warmer. Look for a high of 72. The wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low 58. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 15. Wednesday, sunny with a high of 72. The wind from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday night and Thursday, mostly clear and cooler. Expect a low Wednesday night in the mid-40s and the high Thursday around 60. At noon central time across Illinois and Indiana, a mix of sun and cloud reported. Temperatures ranged from the low 40s to 70 degrees. At Rockford, 43. At Chicago and Bloomington, 44. In Mattoon, it was 56. In Carbondale, 70. 46 degrees at South Bend. In Lafayette, 50. 51 reported at Indianapolis, 57 at Terre Haute. Willard Airport reported 48 degrees at the top of the hour. The dew point, 36. The relative humidity, 63%. The wind out of the northeast at 18, gusting to 24. And the barometric pressure, 30.29 and rising. And at 1240, 46 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Robert Easter takes the helm as president of the University of Illinois July 1st, when the resignation of current president Michael Hogan takes effect. Easter earned his doctorate at the U of I in the early 1970s before taking a faculty position. He recently served as dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences and then interim provost and chancellor on the Urbana campus. The university has gone through a rough period over the last few years, marked by an embarrassing admissions scandal and the resignations of two presidents. Easter will stay on as president for 2 years. He tells Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers he's ready to help move the university forward.
I never planned to just stop working. I enjoy getting up every day and doing something useful and productive. And my ambition 6 months ago and what I did for a couple months was just to return to a little office over in the College of ACES and engage in scholarship. And from the point of view of being a major change in my lifestyle, it really doesn't. It means I just get up and continue to do hopefully good things. And the question is, why would you do something like this? And I guess the...
Because this is more than just a change in lifestyle. Yeah, you're the president of the University of Illinois.
It is, and it's a great responsibility. And I am an alum of the university. I've spent a career here working with a lot of other people to build the reputation and quality of the institution. So there's some sense of responsibility if you're asked to do something like this, to take it on. It's a challenge. And any time that you assume a responsibility like this, it's a significant challenge. But it's also, I think it'll be fun. When I came over to the chancellor's office, I had been on campus for 37, 38 years, and I thought I knew this place very well. And every day I would discover somebody doing something that was new, exciting, and it was fun to learn about. And I think this job will give me an opportunity to really get to know in depth our other two campuses and learn a great deal about what else the University of Illinois is doing.
Do you have any interest in staying here past the 2 years? I mean, how long do you envision yourself staying in this role?
I committed to 2 years, and I think our Board of Trustees made a wise decision because there is a need for stability. And they also made a decision to not use the word interim, and I think that's important at this point in our history. Ask me 18 months from now about how long I might be willing to stay here.
Well, you have a lot of administrative experience and teaching experience on the Urbana campus. Have you worked at all with the other campuses?
Obviously, I've worked with the leaders there as a chancellor, but I've not worked on the other campuses. And one of my very first priority will be to spend time on those campuses, get to know the faculty, get to know the deans and other levels of administration that I don't know, and get a good sense of what their priorities are and what their needs are, interact with their students, learn something about their student populations.
A lot of faculty members were upset with President Hogan. Before he resigned, he told me he wanted to redouble efforts to repair friction with faculty. What will you do to make sure that that happens?
I will just spend time talking with the faculty leaders and understanding the concerns that they have. I view the university governance as a partnership where faculty have a very significant interest. It's their careers. The success of the university has great impact on their opportunity to have good careers. Ultimately, someone has to make decisions, but I think those have to be very well informed by faculty conversation.
Outside of listening, there are other steps, I guess, even outside of the open door policy. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, what can you do to demonstrate that you're not just hearing what they're saying, but you're really listening to them?
Well, you know, I think it's important to just be out there and attend events that our students are involved in, attend events that our faculty are involved in, and not as somebody on the stage, but just in the back of the room observing and getting a sense of what's happening.
Are you at all concerned about the reputation of the U of I following the admissions scandal and the resignations of two presidents in the last few years?
I was at a meeting with vice chancellors for research in California. No one brought up a question in any of those conversations about the reputation of the University of Illinois. I understand there are on this campus that our applications for freshman admission are up 3,000. That's a quantum jump from a year ago. It says something about our reputation and the interest in students in coming here, young people in coming here. We are able still to recruit outstanding faculty. We're able to retain faculty. We compete with the very best universities in the country, which says that people who have great talent want to be here.
Right, but I mean, especially in the last few months, there's been a lot of media coverage, not just a few months, last few years, negative media coverage surrounding the university. And when you have a student or a prospective student who sees on the front page of a newspaper something about the university that isn't very positive, aren't you concerned that, you know, they'll say that, you know, this university doesn't seem to have its act together? You know, why should I go here?
Some will do that, but I think the great majority will look at the value of a University of Illinois degree, the quality of the instruction that they get. As I walk around our campus here in Urbana, and I'm sure this is the case in Springfield and Chicago, we have deans who are very, very committed, who've done a tremendous job through a very difficult period. They're people of great integrity. We have department heads, department chairs that have done that. The individuals that have great impact on the students' life are rock solid.
I know Michael Hogan was criticized over his handling of his enrollment management plan. Where does that plan go from here?
I've been out of the conversation now for about 6 months, so I need to actually just sit down and go through the current plan as it exists before I have a real opinion about where we go.
What's this transition period going to be like? Right now you're president designate, and then July 1st you're president. So what will that transition period be like for you?
I thought the transition between Dr. White and Dr. Eikenberry went very, very well. They both were involved in some decisions, things that were very long-term. Dr. Eikenberry spent more time with those issues than things that were relatively short-term, but it went very well. And Mike Hogan and I became friends during the time that he was president of the University of Illinois and I was the interim chancellor. We worked together. I have no reason to expect that that relationship won't continue to be a very positive one.
What is the university going to look like a year from now? And do you think we'll be able to look past this period of instability?
As many things fade into the past, this will be something that will fade into our past. As an institution, we have survived any number of difficult periods, financial and otherwise, and I'm confident we'll do that this time.
Robert Easter. He spoke with Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers. Easter will serve as the University of Illinois' next president starting July 1st.
How far are you willing to drive to save on gas?
I was at one station where the price was $4.68 a gallon, and not even 2 miles away, it was at $4.14.
Some smartphone apps out there will help you decide.
We have the ability to tell you exactly how many dollars per tank you're going to save.
High-tech help filling the tank. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
Home ownership has always been essential to the American dream, but for many, that remains a dream as they struggle to find safe, affordable rental housing for themselves and their families. I'm David Inge. Join me for a roundtable discussion with guests from around Central Illinois working to understand and meet the need for housing in our communities. We'll hear about some innovative approaches that provide both shelter and a sense of belonging. That's Housing, a Basic Human Need, Tuesday, March 27th at 8 p.m. on WILL AM TV and online.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 26th of March, 2012. It's the birthday of A.E. Housman, born Worcestershire, England, 1859, the poet who gave us the lines, "Loveliest of trees, the cherry now is hung with bloom along the bough and stands about the woodland ride wearing white for Eastertide." It's the birthday of Tennessee Williams, Columbus, Mississippi, 1911, wanted to become a playwright when he was 18 and saw a production of Ibsen's Ghosts. His father made him go to work in a shoe factory, where Williams worked with a man whose name was Stanley Kowalski. He wrote plays while he worked a variety of odd jobs, plays produced by small theater companies, didn't earn him much money. He was nearly broke in 1944 when The Glass Menagerie was produced, a big success, first in Chicago, then on Broadway. 3 years later came A Streetcar Named Desire, with Marlon Brando playing a character named Stanley Kowalski. It's the birthday of Robert Frost, 1874, in San Francisco. Moved to Massachusetts when he was 11. Struggled to become a poet. He was 39 before he published his first collection of poems, A Boy's Will. Robert Frost, who was out of fashion almost from the beginning, interested in traditional meter and rhyme when his contemporaries were writing in free verse. Early years were rough. Father was a heavy drinker, died of TB when the boy was 12. Family was left impoverished. Frost had to drop out of college during his first year to go to work. He was so depressed at one point, he walked into the dismal swamp and considered drowning himself. Taught school for a few years, never enjoyed it. He and his wife Eleanor lost their first child. He fell into despair, barely making ends meet, his marriage on the rocks. That was the year he tried his hand at raising poultry on a 30-acre farm in Derry, New Hampshire. The farm inspired some fine poems, but Frost was a terrible farmer. And it's the birthday of the poet Gregory Corso, born on Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village, New York City, 1930. Gregory Corso, who said, "Standing on a street corner, waiting for no one, is power." His parents were Italian teenagers. Mother went back to Italy, left the baby behind. Corso said, "I never saw my mother. I don't know what happened to her." The father was drafted into the army. The boy spent his childhood in a series of orphanages, foster homes, jails. When he was 16, went to prison for 3 years for stealing food from a restaurant. In 1950, he met the poet Allen Ginsberg, Corso had started writing poetry in prison, and he became one of the leading poets of the Beat movement. Here's a poem by Robert Frost on his birthday, A Prayer in Spring. Oh, give us pleasure in the flowers today, and give us not to think so far away as the uncertain harvest. Keep us here, all simply in the springing of the year. Oh, give us pleasure in the orchard white, like nothing else by day, like ghosts by night, and make us happy in the happy bees, the swarm dilating round the perfect trees. And make us happy in the darting bird that suddenly above the bees is heard, the meteor that thrusts in with needle bill